What's up, everyone, and welcome back to the Pickup Line. I'm your host, Ethan, and alongside me, I always go the wrong way, Hannah Vaughn, and our special guest of the evening, student Dr. Ben. How you doing,
SDB? Hi!
I'm pretty excited. This is my first time, like, on a stream at all with Hannah, and it's my first time on a serious stream with Ethan because we've only just kind of, like, bullshitted on camera. So this
is this a serious stream?
I mean, probably not, but it's like we actually have a topic.
Oh, okay, got it. So it's going to be structured today for the most part. Structure is not a thing. Well, it kind of is. It comes and goes on this show.
For those that don't know, Hannah is a little blurry. Unfortunately, the internet due to the cold weather in Texas has not been going well. So we apologize. We are aware of it. There's nothing we can do about it right now.
I did my makeup for nothing.
Yeah, it's like right now, it looks like you're filming with like a mashed potato. It's like
I'm so happy. It looks great on my end, but whatever.
Yeah.
All right. Then I'll just like relax a little bit. No one can see me. It's fine. But I'm so happy to have you.
Same. How you doing?
It's been busy. So I'm on family medicine right now, but I'm also on rural medicine. So I am in the middle of nowhere, Arizona, with a residency program. So this is like a very intense rotation. Like, it's an educational hospital. So it's just like, I'm put on the spot a lot and it's a great educational experience. And like, I'm super excited. I love it. But I'm also just like, what am I doing? Like, why am I here? You know, an existential crisis, but like about this job. So it's great. I love it.
So how many hours did you say rural medicine? Oh, sorry.
Which question am I answering?
Go with Ethan.
What was that question? Can you repeat it?
Crap. How many hours a week do you put in at the hospital?
Well, it's a minimum... Technically, it's a minimum of 40 hours a week at like the facility. So I'm at the clinic right now, although I will be doing some inpatient side of this because family medicine can do inpatient or outpatient depending on just what you want to do. But I put in kind of a full day at the clinic right now. And then any time that I'm not like physically doing doctoring, I'm like studying for my test, and I have my second round of the medical boards coming up in May. So it's just nonstop, constant studying. It's a lot.
Oh my god!
It sounds like a lot. You're always doing that. I just learned you're in the army as well, and then on top of it, dude, you're everywhere doing streams constantly. Mm. You've been doing the perspective a couple times. Now you're doing the pickup line. You've done the hang up, or it was it the line, not the hang up, the line, or have you done it both?
Well, I've done the hang up once and I've done the Sunday show twice.
Oh, okay, cool. So you're getting around everywhere now. You just exploded onto the scene. It seems like a month ago. You've been around for longer than that, but you've really exploded in the past month.
Yeah, I mean, I only started my channel in March, so it's been really rapid growth for my channel at least.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I didn't expect it.
Great resource for information. I'm sorry, Hannah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, it's okay. I remember meeting you at Faithless Forum, and I knew who you were, but I didn't know why. And then I just started seeing you everywhere.
Yeah, he is everywhere.
It's pretty cool. But thank you for giving us.
It was a pleasure meeting you in Texas.
It was really fun. Thank you for giving
us. We're talking over each other so much, Hannah.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh my god, there's a delay. That's why.
Is there really?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not just the video that's messed up. There's an audio delay on your end too.
Oh my god. I'm gonna try to just like
talk. Try exiting and rejoining.
Okay. Well, what I was gonna say is thank you for giving us what time you do have. We really appreciate you.
Yes, your time is obviously very valuable.
Okay.
No, I love being here.
I'll be right back.
Sorry, what was that, Ben?
Oh, no, I love being here, and I've really enjoyed connecting more with the community. Having like, this is literally like my social life right now because my classmates are all on different rotations. I don't see them. We're all studying for our own stuff, and it's very easy to come home at the end of the day and just be stuck studying all the time, and then you get depressed, and like, you got to have some group of people to go to, and this just happens to be my group of people. So
I get that, because during COVID, I had nothing to do and no one to talk to, and this was my outlet. Like, I got to meet all these awesome people and work with people from all over the country, actually all over the world, which is pretty cool.
Well, I think student Dr. Ben has plenty to do, but it's nice that you have something other to do than work in school, you know?
Yes, we do have open lines. So if you have any questions regarding sex and gender, please give us a call, 951-364-2430. Yeah, we have open lines. And then also, we were just talking about backstage doing an episode on STDs. So SDB will be coming back. We don't know the date yet, but that will be a great episode because this is a show based around sex. So why not talk about STDs and having safe sex?
STDs with STB.
Right? That's hilarious.
I'm so nervous to talk because of the delay. I don't know if it's still happening.
A little bit, yeah.
It sounds like it's not. Okay.
We got a question from Atheist Comet. Ben, are you Army Guard? If you're not.
No, I am full regular Army. So, but I'm not active right now, technically, because I'm on a scholarship. So basically, like, they're paying me to then promise them my life later on. So it's a nice trade.
Wow.
So how about we dive right in?
Yeah.
What's the difference between sex and gender?
I have such a love-hate relationship with this topic.
Oh, yeah, this is a fun topic, and I'll probably end up talking more about the sex side of it because gender is how you and your identity and your expression interact with society and the people around you. So that's more of a psychological and sociological aspect of who you are. And then sex is biology, and this can be a very loaded topic, especially because people don't know much about it. And this is actually the topic of why I started my channel in the first place, because I saw people debating online about what is biological sex and like how do you define somebody as male or female, and none of these people, it was very clear that none of these people have ever taken an embryology class, and I was required to in medical school. Like, it's a big part of our curriculum in our first year of med school, and it is so complex. Embryology, anyone that has gone to medical school will tell you that embryology will trash your grades because it is just so complicated and so many moving parts and so many things that overlap with each other. And it's just, like, it's very difficult to assume anything or define anything based on any one factor, because you need multiple things going on at one time, and anything out of place can throw everything off. So when we talk about sex, a lot of people, especially people that I confront online, they like to have this argument of, but what is the key factor, or like the one thing that makes you male or female? And that's just a fallacious argument from the get-go, because we know that there's not just one factor, there's multiple. So your biological sex is made up of your anatomical sex, which is what a lot of people think of. That falls in with your phenotypic sex. So that is the presentation of your genes. So your genes themselves are your genotype, and you have your genotypic sex, which is XX, XY. It could be XXX. It could be XXY, XYY. You can have... there are people with four X chromosomes. Some people have one X chromosome. There's a whole spectrum of chromosomes that you can have. And then how those genes are expressed and how they appear in your body is your phenotype. So your Yeah, I'll answer your question.
Okay, so I'm sorry if this is a really dumb question, but can they get tests then to find out if they're XY, XXY, XYY, and so on?
Mm-hmm.
And what reason, like, are there physical signs that would make someone get tested, or is it just someone would want to get tested for that? Like,
yeah, most of the time there are clinical presentations of this. Normally, the more X chromosomes you have, it's the less clinically significant it is. But most of the time, people are presenting to a clinic for fertility issues. That's the main reason why someone would get tested, is because you have somebody who either can't get pregnant or can't get their partner pregnant, and they want to know why. And so they'll go through the whole gambit of tests, of course, evaluating for sperm function and all that kind of stuff. And then if none of those are conclusive, then you say, okay, we need to look genetically and see if there's something going on. You get a test and somebody might come up with Klinefelter syndrome, which is XXY. And people who have Klinefelter, normally they present as phenotypic males. So they look male, with the exception of certain structures have more feminine appearance. So their hips might be more broad, like you'd see in someone who's assigned female, and they might be less fertile. And they're also usually really, really tall. But that's not as important of a detail. But there are clinical signs that would lead you to suspect certain conditions. And certain ones, like Turner syndrome, which is X, it's just one X chromosome. They're missing the other X chromosome. They present female, but they have some issues with their heart that can become really problematic. So that's one that you have to screen for, because they can have issues with their aorta and can cause some health problems. So that would be why you would get screened at all for it.
So again, another dumb question, I'm sorry, but this topic is very interesting to me. Am I definitively XY, or could I be something else?
You could be something else.
Interesting.
The what else is, it's variable. There's actually, I have a video on my channel where I did kind of a review of a case report. Is actually kind of two case reports in one, of people with ovotestes. And this was a really interesting case, because you had a phenotypic male, 15 years old, so anatomically looks male, presents to the emergency department for trauma to his testicles. So nothing related to fertility, nothing related to female-like symptoms, which by that I mean you can have cases of men who lactate. You can have men who have periods, and sometimes in this case you actually do have men who have periods with other testes. But this kid, he had an accident on his bicycle where he straddled the bike seat and caused a testicular hemorrhage, which sounds really painful. But so he goes to the emergency department for evaluation of that. They do an ultrasound and they find a mass on his testis. And they're like, okay, we need to figure out what this is. So they take it out, they send it to path lab, they determine that it actually, and I have pictures of what it looked like histologically, there are cell types from both ovaries and testes in the same organ. So there's both simultaneously an ovary and a testis.
Oh, wow.
Mm. But this kid.
That's incredible. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, but this kid had no evidence of. Yeah, it's working. We can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah, I want to have input, but like, you're doing such a great job, and I don't want to throw it off because I'm having technical difficulties, but this is awesome. All right, keep going.
Yeah, so this kid had no evidence that you would notice of having ovotestes. Just came in for some trauma, found that out. But what had happened with him genetically, he is actually a mosaic. So he had two different cell types, like with different, totally different DNA. and it was localized to his reproductive system. That was Klinefelter, so XXY in his reproductive tract, giving him the differentiation of male anatomy. But the funny thing is, and the crazy thing is, the rest of his body was not XY. The rest of his body was XX.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. So if you karyotyped this person using non-reproductive cell lines, you would have thought that was a female.
Wow.
So, yeah.
No, that's super, like, interesting. I remember going on a date with a guy and getting into the whole gender discussion with him, and he had never heard of intersex or anything like that. And I was explaining, like, you know, you might not know that, you know, you could get your DNA tested and find out that that there's a whole lot going on that you don't know about. He's like, I am 100% male. And I was like, well, have you ever gotten that test? He's like, no, I just know I am. And that's when I knew that the date was over.
So does intersex refer to anyone that's not neither XX or XY, like any combination?
Well, so it could refer to that. Some people do. I think intersex is a term used within the LGBT community. Other people outside the community don't use that term as much. In the medical field, we refer to it as DSD, or difference in sexual development. It used to be called disorders of sexual development, but we're learning now that it's a variation of normal. So we're changing our language to say differences, to not make someone feel like they are a pathology, because these people have like normal lives, and like normal is such a terrible word to use, because what is normal? Everyone's lives are different. Right. So it's like, as long as they're not having health issues that are going to be detrimental to their quality of life, then it's not something that we really need to worry about. This classification of variations could be genetically related, but they could also be related to hormones. And because the genetics and the hormones work together to cause stimulation of certain structures to develop and inhibition of other structures, if you have hormone activity that doesn't align with what your chromosomes are trying to do, or even if you have hormone receptors that don't work, are cases where in androgen insensitivity, you have enough testosterone, you can produce testosterone, but the receptor that binds to testosterone doesn't work. So what happens then, you get this buildup of testosterone that can't do anything. And then there's another enzyme called aromatase, which converts testosterone to estrogen. So they end up even getting more of a feminized appearance because of the increased estrogen and the fact that testosterone doesn't work. So.
Wow. Yeah, I had like so many questions, and like you've answered all of them already. It's fantastic. I mean, it's so complicated, and I don't think the general public realizes this.
It is. It's far more complicated than I thought, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's wonderful. So, I mean, there's so many variations in the human experience, and, you know, people could just be walking around not even knowing this is going on with them until, you know, like you said, that reproductive issues might come into play. Mm-hmm. But otherwise you wouldn't really know.
So should people get tested to find out what they are?
I don't think it's necessary unless you have a medical reason to need to, like if you're infertile and want to know why, that's a reason. If you have hormonal issues, or if sometimes there are cases where if you have issues with puberty and hitting puberty at a certain age, or you go through a puberty that's not congruent with what you think your puberty should be, then that's a case to look into it. But like, I think arguing with people about like defining people based on their sex is kind of ridiculous, in all honesty. Like, I mean, if you want to know, fine, but like, I think it's more worthwhile to focus on gender and these sociological and psychological aspects of what makes a person them, because their body might not necessarily indicate who they are as a person.
Right. It's kind of just a role you play in society. Like, I was thinking about this earlier, like, what makes a dad? And so many people would say, oh, you have to have a child. And then a lot of people know that there's plenty of absolutely valid adoptive parents, step parents, people who become father figures for many different reasons. And people don't really argue with that. It's like, if you are a dad, you are, you know, I don't want to say playing a role like it's pretend or anything like that, but for lack of better words, it's how we kind of understand in society the role that you play. And because gender is such a societal thing, it's kind of the same. You can't really pin it down to one thing, especially when it comes down to, oh, you're a woman if you can reproduce. Well, plenty of assigned female people at birth cannot give birth. Does that make them suddenly, oh, they're not a woman anymore? And I don't think people realize, that it's so much more complicated than that.
So just so I understand correctly, you could be XX and identify as a woman, or you can be XY and identify as a man, correct?
Yep.
And then what about on medical forms? Doesn't the medical professional need to know then technically both what your sex and what your gender is?
Yeah, so this is something that I think we need to change how we communicate about this, because since we've established that we can't make assumptions about your body, right? So even if you believe you are a biological male or a biological female, you could have variations in there compared to somebody else. So why do we need to put somebody in this box when there still could be, we still might not be getting the entire picture? So I think maybe a better place to go with it is to treat people medically based on their anatomy, based on their hormones, based on the factors that we can actually use to medically treat somebody. Because when we design a medical therapy or we design guidelines for screening for certain cancers, it's not based on like their role in society or even just based on their chromosomes. It's based on the anatomy that they have. So take something like a pap smear for cervical cancer. Like, yeah, it's meant for women, but not like all women could have something like that. Like, you have trans women who might have a vagina because she got one from surgery. She doesn't have a cervix. She doesn't need that pap. But then also taking something for uterine cancer or ovarian cancer, if you had a cisgender woman who had a hysterectomy, she also no longer fits guidelines for these types of cancers. So like it's unnecessarily oversimplifying something that we might be missing people on anyway. So maybe we should treat it more like a checkbox for, okay, you have a prostate, we need to screen you for prostate cancer. Like, you have a uterus, we need to screen you for this, and treat it more like that instead of fixating on some binary that isn't entirely accurate.
So kind of like have a checklist of whether you have a uterus or a prostate, things like that, as opposed to sex and gender, is what you're saying?
Yeah, well, like, the patient could input their gender, or anything. And then when you're with your doctor, I mean, we go through a list of questions anyway to ask you important things about your health. And I think we could include that in there, talking more about those kind of things. And you could, if somebody is cis and can be demonstrated that they don't really have much variation, okay, then you can start simplifying it down. But I think walking into it with an assumption that everyone's anatomy lines up a certain way is bias in itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. We got a question from Amit Matthew. Amit, thanks for the super chat. Question, SDB. Have you heard about the Hydra community in India? Sorry if that isn't an appropriate term. It's the only word that was used for them when I lived there.
Yeah, I know of the community. I don't know much societally, everything that goes on with that. I know I know of some communities that were a thing, like when I was there. I didn't meet anybody from that community, like on a personal level or anything. But yeah, I don't know much about that, honestly. Like, as I know, there's a lot societally with how they're treated.
Sorry, but
I'd love to have that conversation with Amit at some point. But.
Or Amit. Feel free to call in because I don't know what a Hydra is. Am I saying that right?
I mean, you have an American accent, so that's fine.
yeah, Amit, if you have a second to call in, that'd be great because I'm very curious on what that is. And yeah.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I've never been to India, so it makes sense.
Anna, you're awfully quiet today.
I just feel like if I chime in, I'm going to throw off the groove because I don't know what's going on with my technology today. And also, y'all are killing it. So,
well, the audio seems to be good now. So I think
we can. Okay, that's great. Yeah, I also don't want to interrupt because, like, we have some valuable information and I don't know a whole lot about the science behind this. I mean, I know enough to understand that it's more complicated than people like to make it seem. And so there's a part of me that's also wants to stay in my lane. But at the same time, like I said, I think at the beginning, I kind of have a love-hate relationship with this topic because people do like to oversimplify it. And once you kind of know, even once you scratch the surface and realize how many variations there can be from just a biological standpoint, it kind of throws the whole binary gender conversation out the freaking window. And so
it does.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it's kind of like an exhausting conversation. Like, I can't believe that people still, like, of course I can believe it, but it's still frustrating to me that people are still arguing, what the hell? I took a nap earlier and I haven't recovered from my nap earlier. People are still arguing from a very simplified perspective. And it's like, if you would just do a teeny amount of research, it's going to throw that whole binary concept. It's going to absolutely nuke it, you know? So it's like, I don't know, but it's cool to know even more. I mean, the more you know, it's always exciting.
Absolutely.
Speaking of which, I came across a term earlier on my Facebook. I guess in Zapotec cultures, like Southern Mexico, they refer to trans people as mucs, M-U-X-E. Have you heard that term before?
I've not. I'm honestly not super culturally familiar with that group.
Okay.
I'm really hoping that's not derogatory, but
I hope not either. Like, I'm very curious about that because someone used it earlier today and I was looking into it and I was reading it, but I'm not trans. I don't understand enough about it to, you know, determine whether that's derogatory or not. I hope it's not.
Huh. Yeah,
I sounds like it honestly. Might be.
Well, I mean, I know there are certain cultural groups that just are like, because different cultures view gender very differently. And so I'm just not as familiar with, especially Latin American culture. I'm not as familiar with how they treat this kind of thing.
Well, when I
their language. Oh, sorry, Hannah.
I spend a lot of time in Mexico, and there is a lot of gender reassignment surgeons in Mexico, like a lot. And so, but I kind of just hang out with a lot of boomers when I go to Mexico. So I don't really know a whole lot about that, but it's something I have noticed. So I don't really know the kind of cultural attitude towards, you know, what's the term you use? I really liked it. When I said intersex, you said the different.
Yeah. Differences in sexual development.
Differences in sexual development. I like that.
Yep.
It's kind of just, it's a lot more, I don't know. You understand it right away when you hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like something that medicine in general is trying to move towards, taking some of these things and making them not considered as pathologies, because once you label something as a pathology, people want to find a fix for it. And that's mm-hmm. not really what we want to do. We want to support people in their lives. And we've demonstrated very clearly that transition is the best standard of care for trans people. Making them pretend that they aren't trans is not working. It leads to poor mental health. It leads to very serious fatal outcomes in a lot of cases. We're learning that, like, the standards we had in the past actually did a lot of damage, and we need to move kind of away from that. And I love that we're seeing this within gender divergence, and as well with like neurodivergence and other things that are just variations of normal, that we can now say, hey, people are just different, and we don't all have to be the same in order to be valid. And I love that we're getting here.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. What a time to be alive, right?
Right?
The one but no, I still feel like there's so much progress that can be made. Sorry, go ahead, yeah, Ethan.
Is the language in like Mexico is problematic, Spanish in particular, because for instance, like my mom is a Spanish teacher, and there is no way, to my knowledge, as she explained it to me, to identify them, because the language is based on he and she. So
like masculine and feminine romantic language. It's interesting.
Right. So I'm trying to think of a way of an example. I'm so rusty on my Spanish. Even though I lived in Mexico for quite some time.
Did you fucking
but
really?
Like, oh, man, yeah. Anyway, there's a way to say some of the language uses he and she, and there's no other way currently. So the language definitely needs to advance.
That's a whole nother thing, dude. Yeah, no, but
Spanish
that's interesting.
First on the broadcast right now.
I always wonder. I speak enough to find the nearest... Okay. Whatever.
SDB. So, real quick, I think the great one, the one watching, mm-hmm. It is not, if you watch earlier in the episode, it is not just XY and XX. As SDB clearly explained, there are other combinations, XXY, XYY, and so on. So if you rewind the episode, you will see a full-on explanation of the differences, so you can understand it.
And I have videos on my channel covering a lot of these differences in sexual development. I talk about androgen sensitivity. I talk about 5-alpha reductase deficiency. I talk about persistent Mullerian duct syndrome. I talk about all kinds of fun things in great detail. I have diagrams that I draw out explaining exactly why things happen the way that they happen. So go watch those, because science clearly demonstrates that it's not binary.
Y'all. Sorry, I have a love-hate relationship with this, because it's like, yeah. Like, it's, I don't know. You look into it for like 5 minutes and you're like, oh, okay.
Throw and the funny thing that people do with this, especially in the gender critical circles, they love to say, oh, well, those people are atypical, like they're rare. Like, that's not an excuse to dismiss an entire population of people. Like, they are still humans. Like, we are all humans. And like, if you had a group of like 100 people and only one of them had red hair, you're still going to have to include the person that has red hair. You don't just get to say, oh, well, that person's atypical. Red hair people don't exist. They still right. exist. They're a minority.
We're going to treat them like they have brown hair. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
It's like, yeah, so just ignoring an outlier and even calling them an outlier is unfair. It's not an outlier. They just have different anatomy, different chromosomes, different hormone activity than another person. Like, and it's not something that you can just ignore for the sake of holding on to your binary. Like, these people have certain, certain needs that need to be addressed, but they also have lives very similar to everybody else. Like, most of the time you're not, again, you're not going to know someone has one of these. So just saying it's atypical, so it's like not real or it doesn't count is lazy. That's really, really intellectually lazy.
Yeah. I don't really have anything to add because it just feels, like I messaged Ethan before this and I was like, I kind of feel like a little brain blocked going into this because it just feels like, it feels fucking obvious. I don't know why it's not.
Though, especially like in the
time
period.
Well, no, it's not obvious.
I'm sorry, Hannah.
Go ahead, Ethan.
Just a reminder. For those who are watching, we are having some delay issues on Hannah's end, which unfortunately we're talking over each other at times. I apologize. This is normally not the case.
More than usual.
Yes, more. Well, okay, yeah, we do normally talk over each other, but this time it is far more than usual, unfortunately. No, and this is a great topic for me because I grew up in a time when sex and gender was the same exact thing. I was one of those nincompoops that would be like, there's only two genders. Like, I just...
You didn't grow up in San Francisco like me.
So... it's your turn, Hannah.
Okay. So I know that it's not obvious because there's so many nuances and differentiations of things that can go on with your body. But the reason I say it's obvious is because the second you realize that in itself, it kind of just opens it up to be like, okay, I can accept that it's not binary. It's not black or white. It's not simple. But that doesn't mean we just don't acknowledge all of the variations in between, just like we do with, I don't know. Okay.
And
I'm
also,
just, eloquent right now.
Just thinking about the utility of this, like, it's such an overly, like, it's an argument that's happening way too much. And what is the utility in even having this debate? Like, for somebody on the side of not being in favor of trans people, like, as obviously on our side, we're going to have to keep having these discussions because, like, we're fighting for rights. Like, that is the utility to having these discussions on our end. But from the other side, like, what is the utility in debating somebody's genetics or debating their anatomy? Like, there are only two types of people in this world who need to know what's in my pants, and that is the person handling my healthcare and the person I'm having sex with. Nobody else needs to know. All everyone else needs to know is just how to interact with me. That's
it. It's kind of a weird question to ask. Does that happen to you often?
It not terribly often, surprisingly, but I get weird things in my YouTube comments. I had one guy that I had to block because he kept showing up in my DMs even, and would say things like, I know you've menstruated before. I'm like, dude, that's not appropriate to say to anybody ever.
That's just weird. Like what?
Yeah. Like, that's none of your business. And you also don't know that. Because even if I was assigned female at birth, I could have some issue with my uterus or with my ovaries to where I didn't menstruate.
It's so fucking true. Like, there's plenty of people who are assigned female at birth who still, that you would look at and be like, yeah, that's a female, and still won't fit into the box that you think that you can put them in.
Yeah, it's a bit ridiculous. And it's just like, it enters this territory of mental masturbation where it's like, okay, yeah, you can technically have this debate, but why? Why right. do you need to have this debate?
It's fun to know more, but that's about it. I mean, I think it's beneficial to know more so we can better treat more people.
Yeah, exactly.
Both medically and socially. But other than that, it's like, and you know, I have the privilege of being cis, but I want to say I'm so tired of the conversation. I'm tired of the conversation, but like, I can't imagine what it's like for other people. Because I also, you know, I noticed that people who publicly come out as trans become suddenly like, oh, you're like a walking encyclopedia for all my questions. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that must be fucking exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is, definitely. And just like the amount of people that seem to need to know what my biology is, and like, it's just unnecessary for right. people to need to know this. And all we need to know is how to treat people. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Like what, I mean, apart from the fact that I would love to change my anatomy one day, but apart from my own desires for myself, like, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if I identify as a man or a woman or non-binary, anything in between or outside the box altogether. Like, I'm still going to keep doing the things I'm doing. Like, I'm still going to be me to the best me that I can be. And right. like, this me is in front of you. This me is the happiest person that I've ever been in my life. Like, before transition, like, I couldn't even look in a mirror and see a person that I liked. And now I can do that. And my psychiatry attending said something really profound. And he wasn't specifically talking about transitioning, but he was talking to a kid who was depressed. And just hearing him say that, like, you are the only person that you're going to spend every moment of your life with. Like, every day that you wake up, you're waking up with you. And it's important that you can wake up with someone that you like.
That's beautiful.
So that's just what I'm doing. Like, I'm waking up every day being somebody that I like. And that's it. That's all that matters to me.
That's good. That's important. And that makes me happy.
Fucking beautiful. Like, nothing else matters. And also, right. it's like, if people are really that concerned about what's in your pants, it's like, why are you trying to fuck?
Right? Like, I don't fuck transphobes anyway. I don't do it.
Why does it fucking matter? Unless you're trying to fuck, or you're my doctor, why are you asking?
Yeah, it's just a weird thing to do.
I know people are curious, but it just borderlines into absolute fucking weird shit. All right, we got a caller.
Yep. Amit. You are on with SDB and Hannah. How are you? Oh, Andy.
Who's that?
Amit.
Hi, Ben. Hi, Ethan. Hi, Hannah.
Hi. Guess I hope I.
So, how do I say that term?
So, it's pronounced Hijra. I hope everyone forgives me because I'm not sure if it is an offensive term, so I will default to using an English word just in case. They're a community in India that basically consists of folks who are trans or intersex, and basically don't fit into the gender binary.
Interesting.
It's interesting because while India does recognize them as a legitimate part of the population, there's no questioning whether they exist, unlike in the West. They are still a marginalized community and are there's severe social stigma against them. And so I just thought it'd be an interesting thing to discuss. It's why while I was sort of brainwashed by my religious upbringing, I never actually questioned whether trans people existed, although I did have some baggage to dismantle there as well. So, yeah.
That's super interesting.
Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on that, STB?
Yeah, this issue is very complex, and like Amit knows how complex Indian society is, especially like Hindu society and the social structures and a lot of stuff that like is a thing, like that they know society has these structures, but they're not really talked about. And like similarly, like with the caste system, like you don't talk about that.
I'm sorry,
like,
the what
system? Thing, but yeah. Like the caste system in India, like you don't.
What?
Oh, like, like in Hindu, and Hinduism, like you're born into your place in society, and like it's your assigned caste, like for life.
Oh,
and
I
you
see.
Cannot,
oh, okay.
Yeah, you can't work certain jobs because of your caste. You can't marry certain people because of your caste. And it's something it's very prevalent. It permeates society, but you don't talk about it. It's just you just follow your rules and you don't really bring it up. And even in India in general, like religion is something that is done. Like people do it, but like you don't talk about it like with a lot of people. Because there's so much conflict over that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, even though I grew up, like, this was just something we didn't talk about. So I got no awareness of it.
Interesting.
Yeah. And which is really funny, because thinking about the cultural context of India, there are gods that could arguably be considered trans or intersex. Like the gods have avatars, which are like a typically male presenting god will have a female avatar, or, you know, that sort of stuff. But at the same time, the community of people who don't fit into the binary are treated terribly, which I think is a very strange dichotomy.
Yeah. Secular Realm says, technically the caste system and discrimination based on caste is illegal in India, but it definitely still occurs and there is lots of violence and hatred because of it.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's still a huge thing.
I have friends who can't marry certain people because of the caste system.
Wow. And so, and does that include like financial status then too, or no?
It may or may not. Typically people from like the poorer castes don't, and I'm stealing a show which is meant for like gender and sex stuff, but typically people from poorer castes don't have that generational wealth. And so they have a tougher time coming up in society. And so there is a little bit of, there is, I shouldn't say a little bit, there is a financial disparity between the castes.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you, Amit, for calling in. You're definitely right. We got to get back to gender and sex, but I appreciate you taking the time to call in and explain that.
Of course. Happy to help.
All right. We'll see you in the after show.
Yes.
All right.
Talk soon.
Bye. Talk to you soon.
Right.
I'm sure there's a whole lot we didn't cover, but that you can think of. What are some other important areas we haven't touched base on?
There's a lot. And it's funny because I talk about this stuff all the time and I study a lot of it. So things that I think of, a lot of things that come to mind, I forget aren't things that other people study frequently. Is there anything that you want me to elaborate on?
Let me go to my list of questions.
It's awfully quiet without me freaking interjecting every 5 seconds like usual, huh?
It is. I'm not used to this. I'm like waiting for you to interject.
You're doing great, Ethan. I just don't want to fuck it up because I know the delay is so frustrating. But no, I'm so mad too because this is something I wanted to just blab on and on about. That's freaking fascinating.
Oh, no, blab. Please blab.
Well,
please
do. Also, at the same time, well, I am a very, like, I don't know. It's hard because, like, you definitely know more about the whole biological aspect of sex. And I'm, like, a freaking social justice warrior where, like, I get really emotional about this kind of shit, how it interacts with society. So it's, but I like that it's kind of taking a more of a scientific, biological, not turn, because we kind of started off on that foot, but it's great because people will be like, oh, XXXY, it's fucking science. And it's like, no.
Well, and something I guess I do want to bring up, because this is something that I do encounter quite frequently, and it's an oversimplification, and oversimplifications can be false a lot of the time. The idea that we are all initially female and then either you differentiate or you don't is not true.
So what happens?
So a lot of times when we describe it, the female pathway is referred to as a default, and not because everyone goes through that pathway, but because that pathway is what is inhibited to cause the other one to happen. Wow. So the male pathway will inhibit things from the female pathway from happening, but we all start from an indifferent stage. So we all start off neutral, like as nothing. And then your DNA will determine the path that you go down. So there's a gene called SRY that is on the Y chromosome. And this gene codes for the testes. So if you have SRY, you can make testes. If you don't have it, then the lack of SRY is going to cause ovaries. And then the testes, of course, are going to produce testosterone. And they're also going to produce Mullerian inhibiting factor, which that inhibits the internal female genitalia from developing. So in essence, having this SRY, you cause development of the male pathway and inhibition of the female pathway. But if you don't have the stimulatory factors of testosterone and DHT, you are going to end up moving and shifting over to the female side. So if you can't inhibit it, it's going to happen. So what we see with testosterone and androgen insensitivity, the condition where you don't have functioning testosterone receptors. So you have somebody who, if you follow this flow chart, you have SRY, so you're going to make a testis. And then that testis is going to make testosterone. But your receptors don't work, so you can't inhibit things. So you're going to then make female organs. So you could even have, you could be XY and produce a uterus. You could produce a vagina. You could produce certain structures and still be XY because of this lack of inhibition. So it's kind of false to say that you go through the female pathway, because it's two separate branches, and it's just, it's either yes or no. And if you don't have yes, then you have no, if that makes any sense.
So basically, I want, there's part of me that wants to avoid saying this because, like, non-binary is a gender that people, well, not like a gender, it's like a lack of gender, but basically we all start out as non-binary fetuses.
Yeah, you start out as just a fetus.
You're just as a fetus.
Undifferentiated.
Just completely anything. Blank slate, man.
Yep.
We got a question from Amit, which I'm actually wondering this too, asking because I think the answer is valuable. How much does genotypic sex affect phenotypic characteristics such as strength or speed?
So this is going to come down to hormone input. So generally, SRY is going to cause testis production, which is going to cause testosterone production. And so that would cause muscle growth, that would cause your bones to grow in a certain way. So that's a hormone input. So you see the relation of having the genetic trait that would cause higher levels of testosterone. But if you have a fetus who does not have SRY, so you have either an XX fetus or you have an XY fetus that is missing SRY, because that's a thing that we see. You have someone who doesn't have SRY, but let's say that their mom had PCOS or they had high levels of testosterone. And so the baby was then exposed to high levels of testosterone in utero. Well, that baby is going to, just like I said, in the pathway where testosterone causes this male development, you can get a lot of that influence on this baby, even though the baby itself is not producing this hormone that's coming from the parent. So it's all, that stuff is all hormonal.
I could literally talk, I could listen to you talk about this all freaking day. And I know you have a YouTube channel, but the bots should definitely plug it because this is,
well,
I'm getting such a brain boner right now.
If you look in the chat, you'll see a link to student Dr. Ben's link tree. It's also in the description of the video if you want to learn more and check out his channel. Hannah, did you have any last questions before we get out of here?
I wish you guys could see how cute I looked today.
Oh,
that's okay. No, just look at me instead.
Exactly. Exactly. This is freaking fantastic. Oh, because go ahead.
Nice to be. Are you going to what's it called? The Better Conference in March? I don't know if it's still happening. I got to find out, actually.
Yeah, I don't know anything that's going on. It all depends on what rotation I'm on and if I can get away with doing that.
Okay. It's in, so. Where are you at anyway? If you can say, if you're comfortable saying.
Well, I'm at school in the Phoenix area. But currently I'm in bumfuck nowhere for a month.
Oh, so. Okay.
Doing rural medicine or rural medicine. Yeah. Oh my God. I just picture like, oh, rural medicine. That means like you're with cows and like plants.
Oh yeah. No, it's not that small of a town, but okay. It's smaller than Phoenix for sure.
Okay. Okay.
Well, one thing I want to heavily promote, February 19th is going to be the Recovering from Religion fundraiser. And Hannah will be co-hosting it with me along with Kenneth Leonard. SDB will be on the panel, but if I could, we're trying to raise $10,000 for Recovering from Religion. There are links in the description. If the mods could put them in the chat, there is a donate link and then a YouTube link. So you can click it, click set reminder to get reminded once that event goes live. But just to give you a taste of who's coming, we have got Pasta Mike, Vice Rhino, Student Dr. Ben, Cynthia McDonald, Phoebe Rose, Gutsick Gibbon, Oz, Genetically Modified Skeptic, Brain Bug, Seth Andrews, Objectively Dan, Neil the 604 Atheist, Godless Engineer, Paula Gia, Biddy Buddha, Zara K, Jim Barrows, Bryce Cornell, Myth Vision Podcast, Dave Warnock, Shannon Q, Rationality Rules, Eric Murphy, Dr. Daryl Ray, Antibot, Mandisa Thomas, Jake the Atheist, Anthony Magnabosco, Holy Kool-Aid, Genevieve, Rudy B, J Mike, Cindy Plaza, and Xgen Aaron. Whew. 34 atheist YouTubers all on one jam-packed four-hour broadcast. It's gonna kick fucking ass. So let me put the looks like, yep. Oh, and then
And that's the atheist creator rap. Says Amin in the chat.
STD, what do you have coming up?
At least 150 or more to see. Sorry.
What do I have coming up? I have on, well, tomorrow's Friday. I normally do trivia on my Twitch at 9 p.m. Eastern time. I hopefully will be doing trivia tomorrow as long as the internet isn't stupid where I'm at in bumfuck nowhere. So come hang out for that on Saturdays, 2 p.m. Eastern time. I do medical myths this week. I don't have a guest because I just want to rant about reflexology. So come hang out. I'm going to give a neuro.
Can you send me the link for that video?
Yeah, come join. Yeah, come hang out with us while it's live.
Dude, I would love to, like, oh man, I watched a video. Have you ever heard of Penn and Teller's Bullshit?
Yeah.
I highly recommend it. It's a great show, but they did an episode on reflexology and the crap that they were peddling. So
wait, I'm gonna be giving pretty much a pretty heavy neurology lecture during that. Y'all are going to learn everything about the nervous system. Well, not everything, but a good chunk of why reflexology could not possibly work.
And just to make sure we're talking about the same thing, this is where they take that, like, what's that thing called? I don't know what they call it, but, and they, like, it goes against your foot.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Like, it's like,
yeah, they massage your foot and it supposedly can treat every organ in your body.
Right. Wow. Yeah. Like,
just not possible.
A certain part of your, and I remember the one guy that was peddling this was encouraging the lady who she was paying him to learn to start doing it, even though she wasn't trained. If that gives you any idea of how much of a joke it is.
Wow. I love that.
Ooh, you know what, SDB? I need to find a reflexologist to call the Perspective Tuesday when you're on.
Oh, yeah. I will have some fun because I can demonstrate with neurology why the nerves don't do that.
Amit says, is reflexology the same as acupressure? That's
not
two different things, correct?
It's slightly different. Similar concept, but they're claiming a different mechanism and different treatments.
Ooh, what are your thoughts on acupuncture?
It's a placebo.
It feels good, basically. That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to hurt you.
You'd recommend
massage
therapy over
benefits to placebo, but
oh, massage therapy is great. Yeah.
Okay. All right. For those who don't know, we continue the chat in Discord afterwards. The link for Discord is in the description. It's also the mods. We'll put it in the chat. SDB, thank you so much for doing this. Hannah, it's always a pleasure. Hopefully next week the audio will be fixed. That's okay.
SDB, you are an invaluable asset to this community, and it's just
absolutely.
So,
and I like, can't wait it's to wonderful. See how far he goes.
No, I'm
happy
absolutely.
To be here.
Sorry, I talked over you again. Sorry, SDB, that this on your episode we had to have all technical difficulties this morning.
No, but SDB's coming back to talk about STD. Yeah, about do we consider them STDs or STIs these days?
They're both the same thing.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, you'll be back, right?
Oh yeah, I'll be back. We'll talk about syphilis, and it'll be fun.
All right, everyone, make sure you like and subscribe. Let me thank the top tier patrons: Cindy Plaza, Left, Light, Right, Left, Ryan Hammond, Kenneth Leonard, Sky, Secular Rarity, Philip Leach, Richard Gilliver, Underscore Atheism, Amit Matthew, Ray Sylvester, and Gerudo San. Thank you so much for your patronage. If you like what we do, consider becoming a patron for as low as $1 a month. Trust me, it makes a difference. Call-in shows do cost money to run. If you can't afford to be a patron, no big deal. Share the video. That also makes a difference too. And remember to join us for the February 19th Recovering from Religion fundraiser. Oh, and then 2 weeks from today, Dr. Daryl Ray will be on the pickup line. Good night, everyone.